I like to think of a cage as a laboratory. We are going to make mistakes. We are going to do things great. We're going to make discoveries. But at the end of the day, it requires us to make mistakes in order to figure out what those discoveries are. So quit judging yourself when you're in the cage and you're not performing your best all the time.
Hey, I'm Ashley Agle. Some of you might know me as Ashley Burkhart, and I'm a former D1 and professional softball player who spent a few years coaching in the college game before deciding to put all of my focus into youth softball players and helping them make their dreams and their goals happen for them. It's our job to help them unleash their potential and become the athletes they've always dreamt of. I come from a small city in the Midwest and didn't let that stop me from making my goal of playing D1 softball a reality. No matter where you live, you have the tools to help you thrive, and I am hoping through this podcast to help you get there. On this podcast, you'll learn from Olympians, Hall of Fame coaches, and elite players what their journeys have been like, and you'll also learn from me and my family a bit of our journey through the game. I'm so excited to have you here, so whip out your notebook and let's learn how we can grow in this game together. Welcome to When the Cleats Come Off.
Hey there, welcome back to When the Cleats Come Off. Thank you for giving me a week off. I went on a family vacation and I had plans to record this while on vacation. And then I thought, I'm having too much fun and this can wait. But here's the deal. This is actually something I've been wanting to record for a few weeks now because as a hitting coach, I feel like there have been multiple discoveries that I and my athletes have been able to find while hitting together. And those of you who play the sport of softball are likely hitting. If you're not hitting, you probably can relate to three of the four that I'm about to give you. So stay tuned. There are some discoveries that we're making that have a lot to do with the mental game plus the hitting piece. And I always say this, this is probably the thing that helps me stand out from other hitting coaches is we go over the fundamentals, of course. Like we go over the little things. Like you heard me just jam out with Rob Cruz talking about hitting and how much we love the fundamentals of the swing, but we also love that piece of the mental game. So I wanted to give you four things that are going on in the cages right now that are really working for us. And of course, I came up with a bonus too, because I was thinking of it as I was writing these down, but it's going to help you kind of like as an athlete, discover yourself a little bit more, but also figure out what your motivations are so that you can be more intentional with your practice. And also there is some verbiage that we are using in the cages that is really working for specific pitches. So I love coming up with this stuff. I really want to do more episodes like this because to me, this is the game changer. This is what changes the average athlete showing up and hitting versus the athlete who's really getting a lot done physically and mentally. So here are four discoveries that I've made in the cages lately. Number one, resets are not just for when you're struggling. We've talked about reset buttons before. Sue Inquist came on and talked about her red light release, which is basically teaching athletes, like, what are they physically going to do to reset their brain so that they're ready for the next pitch or the next ball in defense? Resets are great. I think they are necessary, especially to step back and then reset your focus and then get back in and get it done. A lot of times I'm telling hitters in the cage, hey, when you have like two balls or three balls in a row that just aren't great, take a step back, take a deep breath, a focused breath, and figure out what your plan is and get back in. And I've always been saying this to hitters. And if you're not doing it, please do it. But what I've discovered lately is that reset buttons aren't just for when you're struggling. One of my athletes, she blew my mind. I've been working with her since she was about 7 or 8. And now she's a teenager, crazy, but she has been doing the resets that I was just mentioning. But the other day we had just one of these lessons where every challenge I was giving her, she was dominating. And it was just a flow state that I rarely see out of her. And I rarely see out of any athlete really, because she was just in the zone. You know, as a hitter, when you're just like in the zone and like nothing you hit, nothing you do goes wrong. It's hard to be in that state, but she was in that state. And all of a sudden, I saw her after like 5 or 6 reps of just pounding the ball. She took a step back and she did the exact reset that she would do if she was struggling, but then came back in and just kept dominating. And I thought to myself, I'm like, I almost said her name. I don't want to drop names here, but I was like, are you kidding me? That was probably the most elite thing that I've ever seen you do in the cage. And it required no swinging. All it did was the self-recognition of she paused because she was getting tired. She was pounding balls. I could tell. And she just stepped back, did her exact reset and came back in and kept going. And how many times do we do this when we are hitting the ball really hard? A lot of us, we hit it really hard and then we go again and then we go again and then we go again till we like wear ourselves out to where we're almost like swinging less hard because we're tired. But she did a self-recognition that she was tired. She stepped back out of the box, reset herself, got her breath back, gave herself that break and came back in and kept hitting the ball just as hard as she did before. So I loved this because she got herself back to neutral. A lot of times when we're like amping ourselves up and hitting hard, then we start pulling it a little bit. We start getting early. We start just getting overly excited. She never got to that point because she was doing great. Stepped back, probably just kept focusing on what she was doing and then went back at it and started pounding balls. I loved this. This is why I made it number one, because this was the discovery where like even my brain was like, that was awesome. And she thought it was awesome too. So immediately we jumped to her journal and she kind of wrote about that, because I don't want you to just have a reset for when you're struggling. A reset button should be for whenever you need it. She was tired because she was pounding balls. She needed it. When you struggle, take that break. You're going to jump back better physically and mentally, like ready to attack, because now you have a strict plan. And when we're tired or when we are not hitting the ball well, it's very easy for us to kind of veer away from that and be like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? No, the reset button is there when you need it. And coaches, I'm going to encourage you to build guidelines around when a good reset button would be. But when you as a coach, me in the situation, saw an athlete do this on her own, it was like music to my ears. She didn't even need me to tell her to take a break. That's a dream. You coaches, you understand that. All right. Number two discoveries that I made in the cages lately was, and this isn't really a discovery, I know this for a fact, but if we let our highs get too high or our lows get too low, we are obviously going to be in a state where we're not performing at our best. And right now I've been really hammering, trying to help athletes like discover what is your best mindset. And let's just break down the highs get too high. So I'm going to try to do my best here and describe this. But most of you probably know what a bell curve is. If you don't, just go look it up on Google. It'll be a really quick find. But basically, peak performance is the top of that bell curve. And then anything basically downhill on the left side or the right side of the curve are two, you know, places we don't want to be because we're not performing at our best. So one of those sides would be like your highs. So let's say you just hit a home run, you're on cloud nine, you can't even think straight. That's like your highs get too high. So if we have our peak performance and we keep up that energy at like the super high level, we kind of lose our focus and our next at bat's probably not going to be great. So that's like letting your highs get too high. And then on the other side of the curve is basically, let's say a low point, maybe you're extra tired because you didn't get a ton of sleep last night before your game and you just don't have motivation and lack of energy, things like that. That's like the other side of the curve. So peak performance are not found at both of those sides. One more thing I want to add with the highs get too high. It's like hitting your first home run ever and not being able to come down from that and say like, this is what made that happen and redo it. A lot of times I see hitters like hit their first home run and it takes them almost a year to hit another one because they're like, oh my gosh, I have to do that again. And then they focus on like lifting it and then they're hitting pop-ups like crazy. And it's like, nope, just go back to where your peak performance was. So thanks for letting me go on my rant. But the point is we want to find what our best self is. And this is where I really encourage journaling. I've talked about the Always Grind 365 hitting journal so many times, but it's so good to just be able to kind of prompt yourself on like what works best for you. So this is what my job is as a hitting coach. I'm trying to find athletes getting to their too high moments or struggling a lot so that they can kind of work to see where is that peak performance level? What are they doing to get to that peak performance level? Maybe they're saying things in their head like, get on top of the ball, get on top of the ball, because they've been lifting the ball like crazy the past few reps, right? I, as an instructor, am trying to help athletes discover what, not just like mentally to focus on, but what to say to themselves in these moments to, again, be at peak performance and not let our highs get too high or lows get too low. So something that we've been doing a lot lately is I will give a lot of change-ups to a hitter that's very aggressive. So if I'm giving change-ups, or sometimes I like to bounce a ball to the hitter because it really makes them have to wait. If they're pulling it like crazy, I'm just going to keep giving it to them. And we're going to work for ways for her to be able to hit it more up the middle and hit it hard in fair territory. So I'm going to give her a bunch of these and I'm going to see if she can make that adjustment herself. If she doesn't make that adjustment herself, I'm jumping in and I'm saying, hey, how about we just try to punch this pitch to the right side? So for a righty hitter, that would be trying to punch it to opposite field. Lefties, you know the drill. It's the left side of the field for you. But I'm just like, okay, let's try to just punch it to that side of the field. Sometimes that simple adjustment works and sometimes it doesn't. But like, again, this is my job and your job as instructors and coaches to like help figure out, okay, that didn't work. What's going to work? So maybe we get even more specific and I say, hey, hit the screen, like find a spot on the screen and hit this ball to it. A lot of times you'll find adjustments there and they'll be able to hit it more up the middle or more solid. But that's the discovery. That's the fun part of what this experimenting is. I like to think of a cage as a laboratory. We are going to make mistakes. We are going to do things great. We're going to make discoveries. But at the end of the day, it requires us to make mistakes in order to figure out what those discoveries are. So quit judging yourself when you're in the cage and you're not performing your best all the time. Like, you should never be performing your best. Like, I know I talked about that athlete in the first point that she was just flowing that day. Like, we've been working together for so many years, but this was like an anomaly. This was like a massive, cool discovery, but it took a lot of really tough days in the cage. She even told me she had a really tough tournament a few weeks before that. So sometimes it's the hard things. It's the struggle that is necessary to create that pressure. And that's where that diamond comes from, is pressure, because I didn't know this analogy. That struggle creates the good, creates the aha moment, which is, again, why we write this down. When we make an aha moment in the cage, or we find a phrase that works for us, we write it down. Okay. And I'm going to tell you right now, always grind 365 does not pay me to talk about them in episodes, but every single one of my hitters in the cage has a notebook. They have a hitter's notebook. If you want one, I'll put it in the show notes for you to have it and use my code AshleyB for a little discount. But like, every one of my hitters has these, not just because they gave me a few free ones to give to my athletes. No, I bought these journals and I have a discount code. I am partnered with them because they work. Okay. And again, you don't have to just buy this journal. I liked them because they're prompted. You could literally have any sort of notebook and write down these discoveries, write down these aha moments, write down these adjustments that just worked. Okay. Because this ends up being your own, I sometimes call it a hitting Bible, because this is the truth that works for you. And if you are struggling at any point in time and can refer back to these notes, refer back to these aha moments, you can get out of those slumps faster. You can own your swing more. And great things will happen. Okay, so don't let your highs get too high or your lows get too low. Figure out what works for you and just keep making adjustments. Coaches, this is where we're going to have some fun here, because it's your job to help them find what motivates them. So we're going to go to number three, which is every athlete has a different motivation. And that's the fun part. Okay, I do not like when coaches like literally coach every athlete the same. Because every athlete is different. Some athletes will have similar qualities that you've worked with before, and you're like, oh, this worked for them. Let's try this. Again, it's just reps. It's the amount of time you put into this. You cannot figure it out. But every athlete is different. I have an athlete right now that is really motivated by me doing some sort of a punishment. So for me, punishments are like burpees or push-ups. I know they make me stronger, but I don't love them. And when my athlete knows that like I have some pushups on the line, sometimes there's like a little extra effort that goes into it. I even had one of my athlete's moms who's a coach for her team. She's like, hey, what can I do to help motivate athletes or like keep it fun? You know, and I'm like, literally put pushups on the line for yourself because they will show up in a whole different way. But every athlete is different. Some of my athletes, like if I set up a really small target at the end of the cage and they hit that target, which is, it's a really tough challenge to do. If you just like set up a ball on a tee and try to hit it halfway up the cage or even all the way to the end, I put ice cream on the line. Like I have no shame in that. I'll be like, you hit ball to ball, like your ball off the bat goes into that ball there, I will buy you Dairy Queen. And I can't tell you, especially for young athletes, how excited they get about that. That's probably not going to amp up one of my 18-year-olds or one of my college athletes the same. But it's our job as coaches to help figure out what works for them. And I'm talking about this today because I literally just sent a Venmo to this athlete's mom because she hit the ball off the tee. And you should have seen her face. You should have seen her reaction. It was gold to me to be able to help her, you know, discover that, but also like help amp her up to be able to do the thing. And I was obviously so proud of her. I got kind of emotional. I was like, oh my gosh, like she's worked for this since we started working together. We're like 5-6 lessons in, which doesn't seem like a lot, but this was something on the line on day one. And when I throw this challenge out to her, she's like, yes, like game on. And this is an athlete particularly that's not, you know, extremely, and she's young. She's very young. She's not going to be motivated by the things that high school athletes or college athletes are motivated by. But these are just some ideas like coaches help figure out what's going to amp up your athlete. And I guarantee you push-ups on the line for you is going to amp them up. And to be completely honest with you, this is the stuff that keeps it fun. But when they find out that they can do hard things by doing it in like a fun way, it makes that transition from game or practice to game like even better. So I really want you to think about this. Like when it comes to giving lessons, it's like figure out what works for your athlete and what motivates them because it makes it more fun, but also they work really hard. And isn't that the point? Okay, last two here. Number four, target practice challenge. This one I've talked about before, but I think every hitting session practice should end with some sort of a challenge that gets their heart rate up, okay? One, because it helps them really focus on the present task at hand. But two, it really allows, again, the transition of practice to game. This is actually where it comes from. It comes from the pressure. So maybe before you move from drill to drill, you have to hit the screen that's set up on the center, like center of the cage, 5 times. For a younger athlete, just do 5 times. Don't do 5 times in a row. That's basically impossible for an 8-year-old. kind of impossible for me now since I don't hit full time anymore. But just have them hit the screen 5 times and you will see a little bit of a transition of, okay, I'm not just swinging, I'm swinging with a purpose. And then maybe once they hit it 5 times there, you move it back, you know, 5 yards or so, and you're saying, okay, hit it 5 times again. And it's tough. And your job is to help them get those 5 tries to happen. But you'll see a lot of frustration in a good way of them figuring it out. And that is the beauty of some challenges. Again, for experienced hitters, what I like to do, especially off a front toss, is I have the athlete try to hit the screen because it's basically up the middle. And for most righties, it's like to opposite field, which we kind of like to work on to keep our hands inside the ball. I'm like, hit the screen 3 times in a row. This would be for one of my very experienced hitters. 3 times in a row is tough, especially on a moving ball. Are you kidding me? Do not do this the first time you do a challenge. Maybe a challenge for a younger athlete would be like, hey, just hit it once. Okay. Off of front toss. Experienced hitters, hit that screen 2 times in a row or hit that screen 3 times in a row. See how they do with it. If they get it like 2 times in a row easy, then say, just kidding. I changed it to 3. And then next time you do it, you'd be like, all right, now it's time for 3 or 4. Like, this is where they get better. You have to keep making it just a little bit out of reach for them to go fight for it. And I have never seen faster transformations than in moments like this. It's really just going to help bring in a locked in presence and focus that you want to see more in games. And again, I think you should be doing every day. Even if you're just a solo hitter hitting in a screen in your basement by yourself, Like, figure out a challenge that would be tough for you. A lot of times with my virtual hitters, we'll end with a challenge off the tee and I'll say, all right, put the tee in a location you do not like right now. And I say, all right, you got to hit three like solid balls off that barrel. And I'm like, you be honest with yourself, three solid balls off that barrel before you get off that tee. And some of them will stay for like 10 minutes and they will fight for it and they will try. And then, you know, you have some that just, you know, they hit three and they're done. And like, were they really, really, really great on those three? Maybe not. But like, this is where you're in charge of your own destiny. You're in charge of how much better do you want to be? Like, set your standards high. Coaches, set your standards high in practice, in training. Athletes, this is where I'm going to tell you, set your standards higher, because I guarantee if you're practicing by yourself, your standards aren't high enough. So use some of these things to help you push yourself. Maybe you give yourself this challenge off a tee in the basement on your own. I've done this with my virtual hitters too, where, you know, you have to hit two solid balls in a row, or maybe three or maybe four. And then when you have to start over, you have to do a burpee before you hit the next ball, if you have to start over. And it really kind of just like, again, it's like that self-reflection of, dang, that wasn't good. Let me reset. And the burpee is the reset. Nobody likes to do burpees. That's why this challenge works. Fun fact. All right. So I told you I was going to give you a bonus discovery. So I have hitters that are really trying to get to barrel up the inside pitch better. For me as a hitter, high and inside pitch was really tough for me. And right now, a cue that's working super, super well for my hitters is knob to ball. Okay. The knob is, if you're not aware, is like the bottom part of the bat that's closest to your hands. So that knob, if I tell an athlete, hey, take your knob to the ball, they start to like turn towards it a little bit sooner and let their hands get out front before their barrel decides to snap through it. That's how we get inside the ball. That's how we really square it up. And I just wanted to tell you that cue because it's been working really well for us. So if you have a hitter struggling with really any pitch location, but especially the high or the inside pitch, tell them knob to ball and what they're trying to feel there and see if it works for you, because it's been working really, really well for me. All right, those are my four, aka five, discoveries that I've made in the cages lately. What are things that you are discovering? This is where I want open dialogue. Let's chat in the When the Cleats Come Off community on Facebook. Let's talk hitting. This is clearly one of my favorite things to talk about. So let's go over there. Let's talk hitting together. If you enjoyed this episode, or you have a hitting coach friend or an athlete that you feel like would benefit from this, please go just like shoot this over to them. And maybe you see some of our stuff on Instagram or Facebook of some of the stuff that we just reflected on in this podcast. Maybe just shoot that over to your team, shoot that over to your players. Again, one, yes, it's going to help this podcast grow, but really it's going to help your athletes grow. It's going to help your game grow and your friends' games if you send it to them. So please do that, not just to help this podcast, but also to help this game and to help your people. So thank you so, so much for tuning into this episode. Again, if you're interested in the Always Grind 365 hitting journals, those are in the show notes as well. If you just go to the website and type in Ashley B as well, you can get that 10% discount on any or all journals, whether you're a catcher, coach, pitcher, hitter. Obviously, we were talking about hitting to get today. There's a lot of really cool things in there to just go check out. All right, friends, I hope you have a fantastic week, and I will see you next week. So stay awkward, stay humble, and keep smiling.